We're starting a new month, and our mission focus is God's world, God's mission. It's His world. He created it, and it's His mission that He loves the world, and He did something because of His love. And we all know of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God gave His Son to the world. Whoever believes in Him, and not just in God, but in saying that I believe in God, but believe in His Son, Jesus, and not just to believe in your mind or in your thoughts, but in the believing that your life follows suit because of your belief in Him. But verse 17 is my key verse in John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to, you can stand for the reading of the word. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm not sure what's going on in your neck of the woods, in your situation, in your life, or like I normally say it, behind your front door. I have no idea what's going on, if there's turmoil or if there's joy. I pray that there's joy. I pray that you see joy, but I don't know what's going on in your life, but know this, that God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but to send His Son, that through His Son, the world would be saved. Through His Son. Father, I thank You for Your word today. Continue, Holy Spirit, doing what You do best, speaking, revealing, convicting, comforting to us with God's word, and we thank You that for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that many people know John 3:16. I encourage you, if you know John 3:16, but you don't know verse 17, start memorizing verse 17. Because you'll come up with someone, and you'll come up to somebody, or you'll meet somebody who thinks that God's out to get them, or they're living hell on earth, and there's just turmoil going on. You turn on the news, and some of you're glued to the news of what's going on and what's happening. I do my best to try to stay away from that, but I end up finding myself, there's just this pull to know what's going on. And but I don't allow what's going on to affect me to rise up above what God's word says, to rise up of the knowledge of what I have so far, that God sent His Son and that Jesus saves. And so, because really, if God really wanted to destroy mankind, you know what He would have done? Not sent Jesus. If God really wanted to destroy all of mankind, He would have said, y'all on your own. I ain't sending my Son. But it would have displayed that God didn't love the world. You see, we have to learn and understand God's love, and you have to change your view or your version of what love is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Jesus would not perish, but have everlasting life. But a lot of people stay focused on what's going on in their own world or what's going on in the other side of the world and worry about something that really is not going to affect them right now, today, tomorrow. And a lot of people are believing that the end of the world is near. Listen, not until the rapture, not until the years of tribulation, not till Jesus comes back, for a 1,000-year reign. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that are going on that are going to have to happen. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that there's going to be a nuclear explosion and everybody's going to. No. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. Be warned and be ready. But asteroids are going to come down, and in 12 years, because of, the weather, the world is not going to just explode. A lot of things that God speaks in His word that are going to happen. We have to be ready. But if God really wanted to destroy, He wouldn't have sent Jesus. He would have left us to our own wickedness, because your wickedness and my wickedness. Some of you might think, well, my wickedness ain't as bad as your wickedness. It doesn't matter. Your wickedness and my wickedness is just plain wickedness, and it separates us from God. He would have left us to our own filthy wickedness, our own filthy desires, and that one day, whenever day that was going to be, we're all going to stand in judgment for that wickedness. But I'm thankful that Jesus came, that God sent Jesus, and that Jesus saves, so that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, well done, thou good, my good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. And it's not because of me. It's not because of how much scripture I memorized. It's not because I pastor a church. It's because of Jesus in me, my Savior, my hope, my Lord, my supreme authority. You see, so when God loves the world, love is more than just a feeling. God didn't just look at all of us messed up people and like, aw, bless their little heart. When God looks at the world, he sees lost people. He sees his creation that he wants to fellowship with for all of eternity. But it's your sin that separates you from him. So he sent his son Jesus so that you and I now have hope. Jesus is our hope, hallelujah, our blessed hope. And so now because of Jesus, we can, and for those of you that are born again, we will be in eternity with Almighty God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Say it with me, and ever and ever and ever. We can go on, and ever. And it's a long time, isn't it? But God's love, it's more than a feeling. It's deeper than just how you feel. And I've sometimes say this, and I don't know why I there's just a need, probably because I'm somebody's neighbor and I know that I'm messed up, but we need to love our neighbor, not just because they do certain things for us or because they do kind things to us. We need to love them because God loves them. And how much does God love them? Well, God loves them this much, that he sent his son. Not that he sent his son not to condemn the world, but that through the world, that the world through his son might be saved. So for let me just encourage you, those of you that are going out to eat afterwards, you know, you're going to go out somewhere. Let me say this in an encouraging way and not a down way. You better love that server. You better love the hostess that welcomes you when you come into that restaurant. I pray that you will light up that room, that restaurant, because of Jesus. Not because you just came from church. Woo-hoo! No, but because of Jesus in you. That's the love that we ought to embrace. That's the love that we ought to allow to flow out of us. Do you know that you're the one, it's your flesh that keeps that love from flowing? But if you are not following the flesh, but following after the Spirit of God, that love will just continue to flow like a flowing river, always moving, always flowing, not stagnant where it just stays, but always flowing. Anybody ever see a video? It's a tragic one, and I'm not trying to use this for any a joyful. But anyone ever see a video of the effects of a tsunami? It is tragic. But how much water comes into an, I mean, and so I'm just wanting to paint a picture that people are searching for the world for something they want more of, and it's just going to destroy them. But the love and the flow of Almighty God's love and the Holy Spirit doesn't destroy people. It saves people. It comforts people. It leads them to truth. So God's love is what we're to embrace. My first point, second slide, and it comes from this from what David was saying in a psalm, Psalm 51. I wanted us to show this. He says, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. But I want to read in the New King James Version. He says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David's psalm is in a time of repentance, asking God to purge him. What does that word purge mean? Hollywood has ruined that whole word purge, but the word purge is defined by get rid of someone or something of an unwanted quality, of an unwanted condition. It's to remove from an organization or a place in an abrupt or violent way. So it's not just something that you just easily and just, you know, slowly take. No, he was like, purge me. Just rip this from me. Rip what? Any sin that's in me, God. And notice what he uses this noun. And in the New King James, it's purge me with hyssop. That word hyssop It's taken from Exodus 12. We're going to go to Exodus 12. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14 so you can go there. But the Israelites, when David says this, and of course all of the David's Psalms were written, and people knew those Psalms. I mean, Israelites understood, or this word hyssop brought them back to a precious moment. And here in Exodus chapter 12, they had this image, this word picture, when they read this hyssop branches. Now, hyssop branches were to place the blood of a lamb on the doorposts of their homes, and this was during the time of Passover. Exodus 12, verse 12 says, "For I will pass," this is God speaking to his people, "for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." The point or purpose of this purging, as David was singing out to God, crying out to God, repenting to God, was that David desired to be covered, to be cleansed. And so when Israelites read this and they know what God instituted in Exodus 12, and here David is saying, "Purge me with hyssop." It's like some of us, if we hear a certain word like pizza, some of you are thinking of a certain, a wonderful place. The pizza's not in front of you, but it takes you there. And as David says, "God, purge me with hyssop," I believe it takes Israelites to that place during the time of the Passover, that the branches of a hyssop was used to dip blood, and it was to put on the doorpost. What was it for? To cover them. The blood didn't just come from anybody's blood. It came from a lamb, a precious lamb. And it was a covering. Back then in Exodus 12, it was a covering. Today, the precious blood of the lamb cleanses us and makes us whole, whiter than snow. Was David thinking about going out to the Swiss Alps and doing some skiing in the snow? He wasn't talking. But how many of you, when you hear the word snow, it takes you to a place of where you saw a bunch of snow? Maybe for some of you, you're like, "I can't stand snow. I had to shovel that so many years." But some of you, you're probably thinking, "I love snow." But that's not what David was talking about. Whiter than snow. Here we find David, he's calling out to God, he's repenting, he's singing because it's a psalm, and a psalm is a song. And so he's talking to God, he's singing to God, "Purge me with hyssop, cover me. Cover me." Because the house that was covered with blood, everybody in it, everybody a part of that family were protected and saved, and the firstborn did not die. There was no death in that home. Why? Because the branches of a hyssop was dipped in blood and the blood was covered. And so David is saying, "God, purge me with hyssop. Help me to be whiter. Cleanse me, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." I'm not sure, but you want to underline that. This is what Jesus does. He makes us whiter than snow. He cleanses us thoroughly. He washes us through and through. To be clean, to be washed in the sense of being whiter than snow, to be cleansed from sin, because his sin, he realized that his sin separated him from God. His sin was something that he had done to God before he had done to man, because he wanted to be righteous and holy to God. Understanding that God sees him inside and out. Listen, if you don't realize that God sees inside and out, he knows what you're thinking right now. He knows how you're feeling right now. He knows what you're worried about right now. That's why his word tells us, do not worry, but come to him. He cares for you, so bring your cares to him. Psalm 51, verse 10 through 13 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Anybody ever feel that way? Do you feel that way today? God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away, O God, from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. May your words become actions, then your actions become your lifestyle. We can read the Bible, and maybe you've been reading through the Bible for the past few years, but my great question, or my main question to you is are you applying with what you're reading? Now, I know none of us in this room are perfect, that you can say, I have applied everything and I have not missed it. Liar! Yeah, you know? That's why we can come to God today and say, Father, forgive me. God, help me. God, I want to draw closer to you. God, those songs spoke, God, those songs that we sang this morning spoke so close to me. God, that is my prayer to you, God. That is my prayer, God, that I want to draw close to you. That is my prayer, God. That is my desire to be known by you. Only God can clean us this way if we remain humble and say, oh God, like David said, purge me, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit. Do you know that he's not going to shove it down your throat? It's if how much you want of it. And you, I pray that you say, God, I want to desire you more than anything else. God, I want you. You are my reward. If we look at God as our great reward, everything else that we need and all the great things and maybe some of the things that give you goosebumps, all of that comes with wanting and desiring him. Because he is our great reward. And the great thing is that he works in us. So as David is saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast. Do you think that David was just saying this to somebody that couldn't do it? Or do you believe that David was crying out to a God who was well able to create in him a new heart? And to renew a steadfast spirit with. Steadfast spirit is not a spirit that is just stagnant or just. There are certain people that I don't know. I have yet to have anybody come up and tell me I'm one of those people. But where you tell the Holy Spirit, I'm good. I don't need any more of you. See, there are some lies that the enemy tells believers. You get too much of the Holy Spirit, you get too churchy. You come across too Christianese, you know. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into God's truth. How many of us want half of it? Now, I know today, because of prices, some of you are going to the gas pumps and only filling half a tank because, hey, gas is expensive. But contemplate or just compare that to your desire for more of God. And maybe that's why you only come to church a couple of times a year. Uh-oh, I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking up at the wall. But when we truly realize that it is God, it is Jesus, it is God's Spirit that I need more of every day, for it is the Holy Spirit that leads me into truth every day. It is the Holy Spirit that comforts me. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts me. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers me, that gives me boldness to tell people about Jesus. I need more of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you realize, hey, you know what? I'm at a place where I'm good with just a little bit. I'm good with just whatever gets me till next Sunday. Warning, danger. Is that all that you're content with just a little bit of God's Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Do not believe the lie that if too much of it will ruin your reputation. Too much of it will, like I said earlier, will make you look too churchy. Like that's a problem. Like that's an issue you really need to worry about. So may your words become your actions, then your actions become your lifestyle. Because God desires to work in us to make us righteous. So when David is saying this, oh God, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Then a couple of verses down in verse 10, create in me a clean heart. He's talking to a God who is well able to create in him a clean heart. Who is able to work in him. And he realizes who he is. I'm just a vessel, God. Who needs a renewed, steadfast spirit. I do not want to be cast away from your presence. I need and I want your Holy Spirit, so do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And God, restore to me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. How many of you are full of joy of the salvation that you have in Jesus, where it shows? Don't say nothing. Don't say, yeah, where it shows. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a store and I've walked out because I'm so focused on my own selfishness, my own to-do list. And I walk out of that store and I have to ask God to forgive me because I didn't show joy. I didn't show Jesus. I don't think that I showed Jesus. I didn't talk to anybody about Jesus. I didn't give anybody an invite card. And how easy is that to do? So maybe that's something that you can pray today. God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. It's not yours, it's his. He's provided it. He's done everything that's required to receive it. Your life, your words, your minds, they are something that you and I can change and have renewed, and they can only be renewed by God's word. Psalm 19:14, so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Think about the words you've spoken. Think about the thoughts you've had. If they're worth, or if there is a need to repent, do so right now. Father, forgive me. My words weren't good to my wife, to my kids, my co-workers, just complete strangers. God, my thoughts weren't good. Lord, forgive me. And let this be a prayer. I'm not sure if you ever heard of this verse before. I've said it many times. It's been one of my prayers that I pray to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. He knows and he sees everything in you and through you. So as David is calling out to God, he says, oh God, not just cleanse me, but search me in my innermost parts. Psalm 139, verse 14, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a prayer that you and I can pray, and I do this quite often to make sure I don't miss anything. Anybody ever want to miss something with God? No. I don't. I want to make sure there is nothing missed. There's nothing overlooked. Oh God, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. Oh God, search my heart. Search me. God, was my attitude wrong? Did I offend anybody? God, search me. Because sometimes Rick can get real, you know, a little prideful. I don't care if I hurt their feelings. I said the truth. We can say the truth, but yet still be concerned with people's feelings. If it's the truth, we can speak it, not sugarcoat it. I'm not saying sugarcoat it. But if the Lord's telling you to speak it, you speak it in love instead of just bashing it in somebody. So I wasn't going to throw my Bible, so don't worry about it. So let's go to slide four. I want to just show this word picture again. Search me, O God. I don't believe that David was thinking of a magnifying glass. But how many of you, when you see a magnifying glass, those of you that aren't cruel that you've used it to burn ants, but those of you that have used a magnifying glass to look at something to have a clearer picture because it's too small. Anybody? So when we see, search me, O God, maybe a magnifying glass. I don't believe David was thinking of a magnifying glass. I believe David was thinking God can see right through me and he knows all. He sees all and he knows all. So God, search me. Search me even in my in search my heart and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me to make sure that God sees it all. To be completely and thoroughly inspected. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So you see, you can't hide from God. But God's word does this to us. It trains us. It forms us. It shapes us. It corrects us. It leads us in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about all scripture doing that. But verse 17 says this, that the man of God or the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you see how God wants his word to work in you and through you, because there is something that he is doing. He is training us. He is equipping us. He is shaping us and renewing our minds. What for? So that we can be complete, thoroughly equipped for whatever God's plan he has for us. Holy Spirit is our teacher. Holy Spirit helps to reveal God's word, and he's even doing that today. If you're listening, if you're humble, if you're searching, because I know there are many times that I went, when I was a little kid, I'd go to church with my mom because she would make us, and I would go, and I didn't learn anything. I didn't hear anything, but I sure did go to church. Why? Because my mom made me. Then when I got to that age of disobedience, she stopped messing with me. She stopped, knocking on my door, wake up, wake up. And I just, I was just being the rebellious kid that I was. But God and his word, it trains us and it leads us. It teaches us. I mentioned before that God's word is like a mirror. A mirror will show to you what is wrong or what's clear, what's been cleaned and what has not. A mirror will show you whether or not your beard, for those of you that are men that shave, if your beard is straight or not. For those of you ladies, you like to put eyeliner and you like to, color in your eyebrows or whatever. It will show you how to do it. If you messed up, if your line's too long, if you didn't do it right. Holy Spirit will speak to us using God's word to show us what we're not doing right, how we need to improve, how there was an error in what we were saying or in what we were doing. Let's go to the next slide, slide five. God renews, my third point is, God, renew your spirit in me. And this is what David was saying, and this is something that we ought to tell God, because it's a daily fight, a spiritual fight that you and I are in. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, there is a spiritual fight. And David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Not just any spirit. There are people that are following, especially on the weekends, they're following some high spirits, but it ain't God's spirit. Many people seek a certain kind of spirit to renew or relax them. But God's spirit renews us. God's spirit emboldens us. God's spirit prepares us for the work of the Lord. God's spirit reveals God's truth to us. God's spirit is what every believer should be searching more of the filling of, the refilling of, for direction, for anointing, for wisdom, for power to be a bold witness. Why would a believer be content with less or in a limited amount of God's Spirit? If we don't seek to be filled or led by a Holy Spirit more every day, would it be because we are believing those lies I mentioned earlier? Maybe because you're content with sin? It'll make me sound too churchy or look too churchy. Psalm 51, verse 13, David makes this request that maybe some of you missed it, and I've already read it a couple of times. But David makes these requests so that something could happen. He says, create in me a clean heart. He says, to purge me. And then he says in verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways. See, he wants to be purged, cleansed, made whiter than snow. He wants a clean heart, a new heart. He wants a renewed spirit. He wants the joy of God's salvation for the purpose to teach transgressors, other sinners, God's ways. He says, your ways, God's ways. And sinners shall be converted to you. David is talking about what we're going to be focusing this month on, missions. There are people who are sinners that need to be taught, that need to be, that need to see, that need to hear God's ways. Not Rick's ways. Don't tell them your ways. Tell them God's ways. Paul didn't say, hey, follow me because I'm good. No, he says, follow me because I'm following Christ. So it's not Paul's ways that he was teaching all these churches and encouraging and establishing some of these believers in Christ. He wasn't teaching Paul's message. He was teaching the gospel. So it's not your ways of how to get to heaven. It ought to come from God's word, and it should come from God's word. But it says to teach transgressors your ways. and sinners shall be converted to you. This is Matthew 28, 18 and 18 through 20. The Great Commission. Create in me. Listen, I'm not sure how many of you, your heart needs to be renewed. I'm not sure how many of you that God's spirit needs to be, you need to be renewed and have a steadfast spirit of God inside of you. I'm not sure how many of you need to have your joy of the Lord's salvation in you, how you need a jump start. But understand that as we see what David is calling out to God in repentance, we see here in verse 13, this is God's mission. It's been his mission all along. I love the world and I'm sending my son not to condemn the world, but to save it. And last slide. I pray that you hide this in your heart. I pray that you know it. I pray that you pray it. I pray that you live it. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't do this on your own. This is why you need the Holy Spirit every day, not just enough to get you through to get you through the week till next Sunday. You need him every single day to accomplish God's mission, for God so loved the world. But he did not want to condemn the world. He wanted to save it. This is the reason why he sent Jesus. As I was preparing and about to preach this message, I thought, God, the great majority of the people in this room are all believers. I hope, I pray that everyone is a believer. But if you're not, I believe the Holy Spirit was already speaking during the worship service. But I was thinking, Lord, many of them already know the Great Commission. Many of them already know that for John 3:16. But I believe the Lord sees there's some hearts that need to be created anew. There are some that are content with just a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the Holy Spirit. But now I prayerfully, you realize that's not wise at all. And just maybe, the great majority of us today will realize, I need more of Jesus and more of the Holy Spirit so that I can teach transgressors his ways, and so that sinners will be saved. Father, we come to you and we thank you. You have given us as believers in Jesus Christ a perfect message. And sometimes it's hard to grasp that you would give a perfect message to imperfect people. But we can't preach the gospel on our own anyway. We can't live the word of God according to the word of God on our own anyway. So, Father, we come to you today, every person in this room. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've already been speaking to them. But, Father, I pray that we would see the opportunity you're giving to us today, an opportunity to take action, an opportunity to repent, an opportunity to make things right, an opportunity to humble ourselves and say, Father, I surrender all. I follow after the Spirit of God. Use me, Father, to touch this world that you love. Use me, God, to teach transgressors your ways. Use me, God, to bring the sinner to Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.